His experience of you, his experience of the world, his love of you, his love of the church. And we know that as he shares this morning, he's not just sharing some intellectual knowledge, he's sharing some heart knowledge. He's sharing things that he's discovered about you, things you've just shown him. And so give us ears to hear, eyes that would see, hearts that would be open to the things that you're saying as Gary speaks. And help Gary to speak the best he can, to be as smiley as he can, but actually to relax and enjoy it and be Gary in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The good news is... Yeah, the good news is I can't be anybody else. Okay? So whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me. Yep? Okay. Okay. 2 weeks ago... On the Sunday, it was the 8th of May. Anybody know the significance of the 8th of May? No. Okay. Okay, it comes after the 7th and before the 9th, all right. In France, it's a very important day. It's actually a national holiday. One of many in the month of May. I think we had three. It's great. Except when they fell on a Sunday, then you didn't get a day off work. The 8th of May. Well, as I say, it's a celebration day. You find most towns in France have a street or a place or something called the 8th of May. There's usually a year added to it, which I'll tell you about in a moment. When we first went to France... We're part of a mission organisation, and we met together. And because we were in France and we wanted to be culturally relevant, we thought it would be good to join in with a cultural thing and have a meal, a celebration meal. Because that's what you do in France. Whenever you celebrate, you have a nice meal. So we were having a meal in a chateau, and we were sitting at some long tables, enjoying our meal, and I was sitting next to a chap, young chap from Germany, and he turned to me and he said, "Why are we celebrating the 8th of May?" So I, without thinking, turned to him and said, "Well, it's Victory in Europe Day." And he said, "We don't celebrate that." So there we were, trying to be culturally relevant. And we all make mistakes. The interesting part about it is he went on to do a lot of teaching about mission and about being culturally relevant. And apparently he quoted this story wherever he talked. So somewhere in Europe, I may be well known, perhaps not by name, but by at least my actions. So... Jesus is. I want to continue that series and just ask you, first of all, if I would say to you, if you go out for a meal or you have a takeaway or prepare for yourself a really choice meal, what would you choose? Don't call it out. Just hold it as a thought. Because I want to make a slightly different proposition, and that's that Jesus is the best meal you could ever have. Yep. Hold your other thought and let's see if I can develop this one. Because I really love telling stories about Jesus. Because it's always based on simple things. And me being simple means I can actually get a hold of it quite easily. Because, you know, we do get complicated over things, don't we? And yet Jesus always cuts right through that, right to the very heart of it, to the simplicity of it. So the best meal we could ever have, I've split into three parts, very simply. And the first one, let's start with that. It's best to start with the first one, isn't it? Yeah, I could start with the third, but no, we'll start with the first. 2 weeks ago, on the 8th of May, Jason Bollinger talked about the feeding of the 5,000. And then Jesus walking on the water to his disciples. Now, he actually finished the story at that point, and he talked around that, and it's well and good. But I want to carry on into the next day. When the crowds gathered again, and they found some boats by this time, because the disciples had taken the last boat, and the folks really couldn't understand where Jesus had gone. They couldn't understand that he'd walked across the water to join them in the boat and then to sail on to somewhere else. So they got into boats and off they went to follow where he'd gone to. And they arrived. And then they start asking Jesus questions. I think we should have the question coming up. And this is in John 6, if you want to follow. It starts at verse 26. I hope that's big enough. Okay? Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you." Now remember, he'd only fed them the day before. "Not because you understand the miraculous signs, but don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of God can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." And they replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" That seems a reasonable question, doesn't it? Do you think we should be asking that question? Yeah, is it reasonable? It's a reasonable question, yeah. I think so. I'm glad you agree with me. It's taking the time, but you agree with me at last. And what did Jesus reply to them? "This is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent." I think there's an important truth in this. I'm not actually going to dwell on that because it's not the main point of what I want to talk about, but I think it's something we really need to get a hold of. That the only thing God wants of us, the only thing he wants us to do, is to believe in him. The things we do after that come out of that belief in him, but the thing he wants is for our belief to be there. We've sung it, haven't we? We've just sung a song that we believe. I wonder if we've just sung it or we've believed it. And that's not a pointed finger at anybody. I deliberately didn't look. Okay. God is far more interested in who we are than in what we do. That's another truth tied in there. Not so interested in what we do, he's interested in who we are. Yeah? That's why we're called human beings and not human doings. We will do, but it comes out of our being. We won't be out of our doing. Yep. That's a total aside. Anyway, can you believe the next bit of the story? Those of you who have your Bibles open may well have read on. After Jesus had fed 5,000 people the day before, 5,000 men, probably somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 people, from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the people said, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want to believe in you." Hey? So, aren't we a bit like that sometimes? We see some pretty tremendous things and then ask stupid questions. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, "Sir, give us that bread every day." And Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he's given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day." Good news, isn't it? "For it's my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day." So, Jesus is the bread of life. The bread which gives us everlasting life. And all we have to do is believe in who he is. Believe that he's the Son of God. Good news? Yeah, good. Not so good news. Jesus uses this image of bread and himself again in passages that we use in the communion. And the first one of those, I've only picked two of them. The first one is in Matthew 26. Tamsin, she said I could shout at her if you got it wrong. All right. Thank you. "As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" In John, he says, "I am the true bread that came down from heaven." I think that should be there as well, yeah. "Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but they will live forever." In these passages, we're encouraged to share in the bread, which reminds us that we're sharing in Jesus' body, and receiving eternal life as a result. Yep. Receiving his body, which is broken for us, his sacrifice, but we're also receiving that eternal life. So, that should be part one. Yeah. Jesus is the bread of life. I told you they were simple. It's nothing new. It's all there. Bread. Well, you might guess the next one for part two, because it goes with the bread in the communion service. So it's fairly obvious that we look at that one next. We share bread and wine. But what's the significance of the wine? Let's have a look. "He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, 'Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many.'" In Luke's gospel, he uses a very slightly different phrase in chapter 22. "After supper, he took another cup of wine and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you.'" So, we have the blood, the wine, a new covenant, a promise from God that he's always with us. Yeah? Now, interestingly, at that time, when a covenant was signed between people, they would often pour out wine on the ground to seal the covenant as a sign that they'd accepted it. A little later in time, those of you who've seen historical pictures and so on will have seen these covenant forms, agreement forms, with a big wax stamp on the bottom and a seal. put on it that says we agree. Those of you who are perhaps as old as me may have seen documents, and I do remember this from my youth, that in order for an agreement to be signed and sealed and lasting, you stuck on a postage stamp and signed through the postage stamp. Yeah? It's the same thing. It says this is a permanent agreement. This is a lasting agreement, something we're going to stick to. And that's what God is saying to us. I've done my part of this covenant. I've signed my side of it. Over to you, mate. Or words to that effect. What are you going to do about it? The other thing about wine, the time of Jesus, yes, it was a part of food. So I think we've got something up there. A verse from Psalms. Wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. You know, two of the elements there already, haven't we? Now, I'm not going to mislead you. But wine was also used medically. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The guy who picks up somebody else who's been beaten up by others. All the others passed by, and the Samaritan, one of these foreigners, goes and helps him. So, in the story of the Good Samaritan, we have this verse. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. So wine had a secondary use. Tamsin, we've got another verse there. So the wine, new covenant, healing, two things going on. And can we have the next one? So, Jesus is the bread. Jesus is wine. We've got a third element. Let's look on into the next verse and see what it is. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Let's just note here, before we go on into the end of the verses, this woman wouldn't normally draw water at lunchtime. Water was drawn early in the morning or late at night. So the water was cooler. You didn't have to walk through the heat of the day. Believe me, it can be pretty hot in the middle of the day. Not only that, why was she there at that time when nobody else was? The woman was a bit of an outcast in the town. So you have her asking the question, why do you ask me, a Samaritan? Why do you ask me, a woman? Why do you ask me, an outcast, to give you something? Well, Jesus has a way of getting beyond these facts, doesn't he? These negative things, these negative qualities, and he cuts right through with an everlasting truth. If we carry on, we'll see. And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you'd ask me, and I'd give you living water." But sir, You don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. This well's very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Working on her own limitations, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Significance of water. You know, I'm sure you know, we can live for several days, weeks, even months without food. But only a matter of days without water. Simplest element, but one of the most basic to life. But Jesus is saying, sure, every two or three days, at an absolute limit, you're going to need to drink ordinary water, but I'm giving you something that's going to last. Something that's really going to matter to you. We too need to drink this living water. John goes on a bit further in, I think it's chapter 7, in order to explain what was on offer. So it wasn't just that expression there. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowd, anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And John puts it a little bit in parenthesis, in brackets. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Okay, so he explains that Jesus is speaking about the Spirit here. So, our three-part meal, bread, wine, water. The best meal you could ever have. Doesn't sound it, does it? You know, if you go on a diet of bread and water, you tend to think it's a bit of a punishment. Well, it's the old expression, isn't it? Perhaps not the same meal you were thinking of when I posed the question right at the beginning. Perhaps some of you had a nice succulent steak or piece of chicken or fish or whatever turns you on. But actually, we're not talking about physical feeding, are we? Physical feeding, yeah, great. What you dreamed up will feed you beautifully, feed your body, but it won't feed your spirit. And it's our spiritual food that we need. Now let's note carefully that when Jesus gives us something, we need to do something with it. Yeah? Well, Matt agrees with me anyway. Let's just go back to the bread for a moment, or particularly to the manna that was given by God to feed the people in the desert. Manna only normally kept for one day. It had to be collected first thing in the morning and eaten during that day. Otherwise, it went rotten. With the exception of the Sabbath, when they could collect it the day before and it kept through the Sabbath so they didn't have to work. So they got 2 days out of it. Now that's pretty miraculous in itself, isn't it? And yet, it's also true for us today. We need to get a hold of that spiritual life that God's giving us and do something with it. It's great to have the feel good factor for ourselves. Yeah? Nice to feel good, isn't it? Anybody prefer to feel rotten? Oh, good. That's all right. But we need to do something with it. It's to share with others. Now, mathematicians, close your ears, because it's one of those things that multiplies when you give it away. Yeah, if you mathematically, if you take something away, it doesn't multiply. Is that right, Jill? Yeah? Hey? Yeah. Thank you. I'm simple, remember. There's something about multiplication by giving away. It's one of these strange biblical truths that happens. Give it away and it gets bigger. A little bit like, again, using that image of the bread. You can actually, you cause bread to rise by putting yeast in it. But you can actually cause a mixture of flour and water and whatever other stuff goes into bread to rise by putting a bit of already prepared dough in it. Because that has some yeast in. And yeast is a living entity. And yeast grows and it multiplies. So you can keep doing that. Again, memory from my youth. We used to make ginger beer. Yeah? You had a ginger beer plant and you could keep it going for years and years just by adding sugar and ginger to it because it had yeast in it. Yeah? Same thing, same principle, same living principle. And it's exactly the same with the spiritual principle. It's a living entity. And it brings us life. And are we up for it? I've lost where I'm at now. Because a lot of that was aside. Okay. Yeah. The truth is, we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus, when we believe in him as Saviour and Lord. But we need to feed that Spirit within us. We need to feed it. We need to add to it. We need to multiply it. We need to keep receiving it. I don't know about you, but I leak. The Holy Spirit in me leaks out. Well, there's perhaps some good to that because hopefully somebody else will get a bit of it. But we need to be filled to overflowing. We need to go with what God is giving us. And it's out of this overflowing in us that we have our front line. Reference to what we're doing in life groups. I'll leave you to do it. Interestingly, this morning, Matt quoted from his daily Bible study, and it fits there, but I think it'll fit equally well where Matt's going to do it in a minute. He doesn't know yet, but he is. Right, if you're in agreement with me that we need to feed, that our spirit can be fed, and needs to be fed by Jesus, it'd be good to do something about it, wouldn't it? Yeah? Are we up for that? Are you all as daft as I am? Not quite. Okay. All right. You're going to be honest. Right. Yeah, it's best to be. Well, I don't know about any of you, but I felt for some time that we're actually on the edge of something new. We've got a lot of new things happening here. We've got the whole church building and that sort of business, but I'm not talking about physical things. I really feel we're moving, and something is moving. There's an expression I heard many, many years ago is when you go surfing, if you've ever done any surfing, whether it be on a surfboard or in a surf canoe or on a surf or whatever, the first thing you feel is the tail of the board rise. You know something's happening. That's the first sensation. And then you can start to catch the wave. And I've just got that sense that we're in one of those moments. It's not really, really visible, but there's a sense that something is happening. Are we agreed? Good. But I think it needs us to be filled or refilled or filled anew, whatever expression you choose to use, and be ready to move into what God has for us. Not just for our own feel good, but to do something for somebody else, to do something for others, to move out beyond our safe boundaries. Are you up for it? Well, that's three of us. Oh, that's a few more then. I'm going to suggest that today we make a step, we take a step that makes a gesture that says, yes, I am up for it. I don't know yet what it means. I don't know where it's going to lead me. But if you're a risk taker, you'll go for it. If you're not, you may not. The risk isn't that great for you. The biggest risk is for Jesus, because he's trusting us to do it. So are we up for it for him? For him. Sort my teeth out as well. So, are we going to go for it? Yeah. Okay, let's go back to these three elements. First one, the bread. The everlasting life, his body. I'm going to ask us to share in those elements shortly. The wine. That new covenant. But also healing. Don't forget, the wine was used for healing. So if you're needing healing, ask for it. Call out for it. Okay? And the last one, the water. The spiritual blessing that's going to pour out through us. In us and through us. And not be blocked. Within us. Are we up for it? Yeah, okay. You want to? Okay. Let's just pray a moment. Let's just reflect on what God's been saying to us, because he may have said different things to different people through that. Lord, we ask you to bless these three elements. The bread, the wine, the water. As we remember what you've put into our hearts of what you said, of each one of those representing you in different ways. Lord, we ask you to refresh in our memory that the bread reminds us of your body broken for us, but also of everlasting life. We ask you to remind us of the wine as a new covenant sealed between your Father, our Father, and us. And also the healing. Lord, we ask you for the spiritual blessing that's represented by the living water. Lord, I ask you to take each one of these elements, simple as they are, but to take them and give them that deeper meaning within our hearts, so that we really get a hold of what you're saying to us. We really get a hold of what you want us to do with it. Lord, it's great to be blessed, to feel blessed. but our heart's desire is to bless others. Lord, we want to see others find and follow Jesus just as we've been able to. We want to see others know you. Lord, bless us as we share in these three elements. Amen. Now I'm going to suggest that the worship group share those elements first. Can you break the bread, Matt, please? I think there are three tables. There's one at the back. Four, sorry. Okay. Is it four? Okay, yeah. Okay. I was thinking of ending this by using a paraphrase of a very old song. I won't sing it to you, because I want you to enjoy the rest of the meeting. It's, what a feast we have in Jesus. Yeah? That's the one. Please, would the worship group partake? Three tables to go at, and a gluten-free table. And then as the worship group take up their place and start playing, please take your share. Because I do believe there's something important in taking this morning, taking the bread, taking the wine, taking the water, because you are committing yourselves to be a part of what God is in the process of doing. This new move. Yeah? It's not being given it, it's taking it. It's getting a hold of it. And I think it really matters that we do get a hold. Amen?
Well, let's thank Gary for his speaking to us this morning. That's great. So I'm just going to invite, I think Gary's made it really clear what we need to do and how we respond. So worship team are going to just play for a moment. Let's respond quickly. Come and receive bread and wine, and you'll notice there's water there as well today, just to help us with these symbols, the images, the pictures that Gary has brought to us. And he just said, I think it's really important that there's something significant as we come and take. And then we'll do one more thing to respond together. But is that clear? Everyone clear? Okay, well, why don't we just come and do that together then? Let's respond together.